The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And if you saw the game on Saturday night between Missouri and Kentucky, you saw a lot of Chris Rodriguez Jr., a monster game, the co-offensive player of the week in the SEC, and he joins us now from Lexington. First of all, Chris, congratulations. I know you're a team player. You want to move ahead, but man, what a performance.
Yes, sir. It was fun. It was a good one.
Let's go back, and that was a huge game. Everyone knew how important it was for the Cats to beat Missouri. Take us through the week of preparation. Sure. We had Coach on Thursday night, and I'd say you guys were ready to play. That would be the understatement of the year.
Yes, sir. So throughout the week, we just knew that we had to have a chip on our shoulders because last year, you know, we felt like we were prepared, but our energy just wasn't there. So we felt like we owed them one, and Coach just told us, like, are you going to let them outplay you? Are you going to let them out-execute you? And we knew we couldn't let that happen again, so we went in with the mindset that we had to go win this game.
Chris, I want to ask you about that because, you know, fans like the folks that I talk to here every day, we get hung up on what happened last year and wonder often whether it carries over. But Coach Stoops said the exact same thing. I mean, how do you – I hate to use a psychological word here, but transfer – how do you transfer that bad feeling – into you? Does it affect the way you practice, prepare? Because you're supposed to be dealing with the techniques of it. I mean, emotion is part of football, but I'm really curious how that affects you as a player.
So, one, we had a video from last year where they showed both of our sidelines. I think Kelvin Joseph had made a good tackle on the sideline, and then they were getting crunk and hype, and then they showed our sideline, and the offense was obviously on the bench or whatever, and we were just sitting there. We weren't cheering or nothing. And, you know, he showed us that video, and it obviously made us practice a lot harder throughout the week.
So that's the motivation. You practice harder, and I know this sounds cliche. You practice harder, do you play better? I know that sounds stupid, but I'm curious.
Well, you know, they say you practice like you play, so, I mean – practice hard, and we played I wouldn't say we played excellent, but we played like we wanted it more than they did.
You, Chris, you've had big games, but this would be considered a monster performance. As the game's going on, I mean, I know you're trying to win the game, and it got pretty tight, but you know, how cognizant were you of the numbers that you were putting on the board?
To be honest, I had no idea of my numbers. After I fumbled the first time, right before half, I talked to Coach Stoops, and he was like, hey, like, man, I love you, but hold on to the rock or whatever. And, you know, my teammates, they had my back. They were like, hey, we believe in you. Like, mistakes happen, right? So going into halftime, I was talking to my teammates. I was like, hey, mostly the defense, like, hey, this is on me. We shouldn't have been in that predicament where they even got the ball to go down and score. If I felt like if I would have scored right there, they don't come down and they don't score. But, my teammates just believed in me, and Coach Stoops came up to me and was like, hey, it was like towards the end of the game, he was like, hey, I want you to win this game. Like, I want to run the ball here. So just kept my head down and just kept moving forward.
Chris, we've seen that a million times. You know, guy misses a field goal, guy misses a pass. Fumbles and the coach pats him on the back, and I always wondered whether that did more good than damage, because it just everyone's watching and going, the coach probably really doesn't mean this. But in your case, it if I'm hearing you correctly, you took something from that, right?
Yes, sir. I took it. I think it was last year where I had my two fumbles. You know, I took it a lot harder on myself than I should have. When I did fumble last year, Coach Stoops, he like got onto me or whatever, and I kind of just got upset, threw the ball down or threw my helmet down, and I was just kind of upset about it. But you have to know, like, that does no good for you. So I just had to move a different way this time. Like, He told me the same thing he told me last year, but I was like, all right, do I go and do I put my head down and like let this just sit on my brain, or do I just say, you know what, hey, forget it, let's move forward and play the next play. And that's what I did. I just played the next play, and my teammates, they came up to me again, and they thanks to them, but they were like, hey man, we need you. And yeah, I just kept moving forward.
Chris, you're going to think I'm overdoing this on the fumble, but I think it's really interesting how you recovered from that and ended up leading your team to victory. But when those things happen, realizing that football is a violent game and people are coming after you hard, is it usually mental? Explain what happens to us lay people when an occurrence like that is displayed on a football field.
Yeah, so for me, I think it was me doing extra stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, things on my mind that I shouldn't have been thinking about. For instance, I had a podcast with Max Duffy, which is a recent player here, and we were talking about my little salute that I do or whatever. I hit my chest 2 times in salute, and I got in the mode where I was thinking about doing that. And somebody talked to me before the game. It was like, hey, when you score or whatever, go ahead and hit the salute to the soldiers because of 9/11. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do that. And when I seen green grass and one dude in front of me, I'm thinking, oh, I can score here. But I was also thinking about doing my little celebration. And I think I shouldn't have had that on my mind. My mind should have been to get across that end zone, and that happened and shouldn't have happened.
I'm not a coach, but I will give you credit. I mean, there's one thing to celebrate just to celebrate, but you did have the best intentions. I will say that, Chris. I mean, it was an emotional day for everyone in this country, and it was a nice thought. Probably you probably should have waited a couple of seconds to think about it, though, right?
Yes, sir, I should have.
Well, put it behind you if I can sound like a coach here. Let me talk about the rest of the way, because the fans are really excited about this Kentucky football team, and I know you have to take it week to week. You don't want to start getting ahead of yourselves. But I would like to ask you, just in terms of what you think of this football team that you're a critical player on, what are you guys capable of?
I feel like we're capable of a lot of things. One thing about this team is we're going to do anything we can to execute every play and do it to the best of our ability. Even if we do mess up, we're going to make that mistake 100 miles an hour. But, yeah, like you said, I don't want to think too far ahead. We got Chattanooga this weekend. And, yeah, I need everybody to come out and watch come to that game.
I know you want to be careful here in your answer, but you know Chattanooga is not an opponent that people are living in fear of. Although we see upsets every week, I'm sure you have to be reminded of that. But as a player, when you go into a game like this is a little different than Missouri, or the Gators, or Georgia. Is the preparation the same?
Yes, the preparation is the same. And Coach Stoops hit us with a great quote today: respect all, fear none. And that's how we're going into this game.
Well, I think that's a great attitude. Listen, now you got to promise to come back here, and then we'll follow you throughout this season. I have a pretty good feeling there's going to be great things ahead.
Yes, sir. I hope to be back on the show.
Well, we want you. Chris, congratulations. Fantastic performance. The Cats are on a roll. See you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. See you.
You got it. Chris Rodriguez Jr. What a great insight there on what happens in the middle of a game and what players are thinking about. Bottom of the hour, we'll head west and find out the latest on the USC firing with Bruce Feldman, who is closer to that program than anyone. We'll get a take on why it happened and who could be ahead. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have you with us. A really fun interview there with C-Rod and Bruce Feldman, bottom of the hour on the Clay Helton firing. He was definitely on the hot seat after a loss Saturday night to Stanford, but to get fired today showed that he had lost all support. And Eli is up next in Oregon.
Eli's up next. Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
Hey, I talked to you a couple of weeks ago asking some questions about what you thought about the Pac-12 getting back into the top four conversation.
Right.
Being a UO alum, first I wanted to talk about the Clay Helton thing, but maybe segue into what you think the future of the Pac-12 is here. But first off, do you think they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater here a little too early, or do you think this, you just said it was a long time coming.
Yeah, I don't think they did. Most of the time you wait a while, but Stanford is really, they're a downtrodden team right now.
Well coached.
I think David Shaw is, he's always been on my top five list of coaches in the country, but he's up against some real challenges at that university. And I think what happened was based on, and I think Bruce will tell this story better than I can, but based on people with whom I trust, the fans were just bailing out of the stadium and were probably not coming back this year. And you start seeing, I think the next home game is maybe Oregon State. I can't remember. But you were not going to see any support. And I think with a new athletic director and a new president, they said, you know what, let's not have Clay Helton on the hot seat for the next 6 or 8 weeks. Let's just make the change. We'll hear from everybody and we'll make a good decision on the next coach, or hope to make a good decision.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like they want to move forward, but I hate to look back, but I really think they really screwed up by not giving Ed Orgeron everything he needed to do.
I agree. I think in 13, Orgeron would have been a good choice. And, you know, whether he'd still be there or not, I have no earthly idea. But he would have been better than what happened next with Sarkisian, was not ready for that job. And then, you know, Helton had some moments. And I don't think anyone, speaks ill of him, but the chance of him ever making this program great on a consistent basis was not very high.
Well, it's very similar to the whole Texas situation,
right,
where expectations are within a year or two.
It's the same thing now with Coach O in Baton Rouge. There's some schools that do not tolerate losing. And, you know, we've seen that at a lot of places. And I think SC standards are – about as high as anybody in the country. Having said that, they fired the last four coaches.
Three of them in September.
I just thought about that. I think Sark, I know Kiffin, and now Helton have all been fired the first month of the season.
And very professionally, SC is very good at firing their coaches.
Well, they got a lot of experience.
But no, Willie Taggart was kind of a rabbit hole for the Ducks, you know, after the Helfrich thing, and then now they have the solidity of I think what we see is a Mario Cristobal era.
But one thing about Cristobal, and I know he's got a $10 million buyout or whatever it is, but he is now going to be a name to watch because I don't think he would – I don't know why he would go to SC. That makes no sense to me, but he is a coach in demand.
You know, money talks, but I think there's something to be said with a history of loyalty at U of O. So it's a small school. Small town.
Yeah, I don't know why you would leave Oregon, frankly. That's a place you can coach a long time.
No, I mean, it's a good recruiting class. You have the Hawaii connections. You have the California connections. You've got a good recruiting base. So, I mean,
a good shoe apparel deal.
Put together, you know, you can put together a good team just about every year.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely
nice
right.
It's just such a nice school to go to. It's a respite for a lot of these kids that grew up in urban environments and can relax in the trees and go to a small school, you know?
I like it. I'm heading out there right now. Hey, thanks for the call. Nick is in Starkville. Hello, Nick.
How you doing, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
Yes. I wanted to go over the Tennessee schedule with
sure.
you.
Please.
Particularly one game. Did you say that Tennessee had a chance to beat Ole Miss?
I said that.
I said
because the game is at home that they would be in the game. But I probably would go against Tennessee in that game.
Yeah, because they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be, and they just got drummed by Pitt.
Well, the game's a long way off.
Yeah, I understand that, but even to say that that could be a possible win is ludicrous. It really is. They put bags of money in McDonald bags and still couldn't win, Paul. This ain't the 90s. Are you smoking crack?
I am, as a matter of fact. I'm sorry to have to admit that.
But you got a pet unicorn, too?
you must have surveillance at my house.
No. But all seriously, I mean, if you know, look, I don't have nothing against Tennessee. It's just if you don't know who your quarterback's going to be, you know, I kind of feel sorry for them because they're loyal fans. They show up. 100,000. It don't matter if they're winning or losing. They got great fans.
Well, they had 84. No. Well, you say that they had 84,000 Saturday.
Yeah. That's great. That's awesome. But
18,000 empty seats.
Smokey looks really sad. And you know, you got the fans that call in and make all these excuses. It's the same thing every year. Same thing every year. We didn't get this call and all that. I just feel sorry for him.
And who's your team, Nick?
Ole Miss.
And Ole Miss has won how many championships in your lifetime?
I tell you this. When we cheat, we win, Paul.
No, I have to agree with you on that.
Notes, okay?
I will not dispute your statement there.
If you cheat and you still lose, something wrong, man. Something wrong. This ain't the 90s, Paul. This ain't the 90s. We fit to beat Alabama. What's Tennessee fit to do?
Fair question, Nick. I cannot argue with an honest man. Thank you very much. Let's talk to who we got next. Derek. In Los Angeles. Hello, Derek.
Hi, Paul. How are you, sir?
Very well.
I talked to you last week, and I asked you a question about USC, and now I just find out that our coach is fired. This is kind of a two-part question. Number one, Who do you think would you recommend to take over the helm? And number two, my question is to, and I talked to you about this last week, because I'm kind of a Jim Harbaugh fan from Michigan. And do you think he would be a great replacement for USC? What is your thoughts?
I do not think Jim would be a great replacement. Because I think he is yet to prove. He may work in the NFL, and obviously he did work in the NFL. But I am underwhelmed by what he's done at Michigan. And a couple of years ago, perhaps I would certainly consider Mario Cristobal. I don't know if he'd leave. I don't think he would. I think James Franklin is a coach that could handle that environment out there. I'm still not sure about Matt Campbell. Everyone throws him out. Luke Fickell's name will be mentioned. I'm still not convinced of that. You know, that type of fit. I think he's a great coach. So those are the names you'll hear a lot about. I don't think, but I am going to pause on that question, though, because of our next guest is far more knowledgeable and much closer to it than I am. Bruce Feldman works for Fox. He writes for The Athletic. He has lived in L.A. for a long time. He knows that program in and out, and he will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. It's great to have Bruce Feldman on. Nobody knows the USC program or a lot of other college football programs better than he does. And not only a Fox analyst, but the Athletic columnist. This is what it looks like. It has looked like since Pete Carroll. Lane Kiffin fired in September on the tarmac. Ogeron let go at the end of the season after an interim tenure. Sark fired early in the season. And, of course, Clay Helton. Man, they get rid of a lot of coaches before October. Bruce Feldman, not surprised by this because I heard him earlier today saying that the clock was ticking loudly for Clay Helton. Bruce, thanks for the time. I know it's a busy afternoon. Just give us your impressions from what happened late Saturday to what happened just about an hour ago.
Paul, I'm told the USC leadership, Mike Bone, the AD there, were just, I don't want to use the word disgusted because I think that might be too strong of a word, but disheartened, really frustrated. And I think what they saw when USC was at home Saturday night and got absolutely blown off the field by a Stanford team that quite honestly looked awful the week before against K-State. And I think, I don't want to say they were incredulous watching that. I think the fans were disgusted. The fans flocked out of the Coliseum. And I think it really became untenable because the reality with Clay Helton, and look, I feel like we always have to preface this with Clay Helton because he's a genuinely decent man, and a lot of people respect him as a man. And quite honestly, after a lot of that tumult, as you kind of outlined in the USC, you know, recent history of a decade of it, they needed somebody they felt was a stable adult to kind of take over the program. And he was that, and he did some really good things. But from around 2018, which is quite a while ago, he's been really on the hot seat. He had one really bad year, and that made his recruiting much harder to get people to buy in when players are always thinking, this guy's not going to be here very long. And coaches at other schools were making that case. And you just never got the sense that what is it going to take for him to really get off the hot seat? Probably not winning a Pac-12 title is not going to do it. He didn't have to win a national title just to do it. And they're nowhere close to that. One of the things I've heard from a lot of people around, who worked in the program, has been this is a Monday through Friday issue, that they don't practice physically, that there's just a softness about the program. You know, he had bought in on the air raid a few years back and hired Graham Harrell. And there's a lot of people there who feel like that he just kind of let that take over the program, and that's how they practiced. And you saw a program that didn't seem entirely that competitive, where they have enough talent. They have as much talent probably as anybody on the Pac-12. So they're good enough to win a lot of games and go win 8 or 9 games. But at this point, I think USC leadership was like, we need to fire him now. Because if he goes on a run and ends up 8-4, 9-3, people are going to be like, you know, are you going to keep him, or you're not going to keep him? They just ripped the Band-Aid off this morning and just said, we got to make a change. We can't keep doing this.
Wow, Bruce Feldman with us. Bruce, what's next?
There's a lot of USC people right now who are very intrigued with Mario Cristobal, by the way, who just happened to pull off the biggest win in his career over the weekend. They smashed Ohio State in Columbus. They were way more physical, and they did it, by the way, without the best player in the program, Kayvon Thibodeau, and without Justin Flo, another 5-star. By the way, both those guys are from down here in Southern California that Mario Cristobal recruited away. He's beaten them last year to win a Pac-12 championship. He's won a Rose Bowl. Your listeners know him well because he took part of the Nick Saban blueprint of how to recruit from his time in Tuscaloosa and brought it to the Pacific Northwest, and he's done really well with it. The question is, would he be tempted to leave a very good situation? He's got that thing rolling now. I mean, and here's the thing that I think is really good for Mario Cristobal is he has put together a terrific staff. I think they out-coached Ohio State as much as they out-competed them and out-physicaled them. And I think there's a lot of people who have their eyes wide open to him now. And again, as I said, he has out-recruited USC in a big way in their own backyard. So there's a lot of stuff that I think will really interest a lot of influential USC people to say, hey, that's the guy we should have, not the guy who wanted to run the air raid. We want the guy who's like the bully of the Pac-12. We want that guy.
Mario Cristobal is scheduled to be a guest here Tuesday afternoon. On him, Bruce, what would it take to get him to make that move?
No, I think it would take obviously a lot of money. I think it would take a lot of commitment in terms of, look, what Oregon has done where he's been there, I think they had success not that long ago, you know, certainly with Chip Kelly. And I think he's done it a different way in terms of what the identity of that program is. But I think you have to get here, whoever they go after. I think there's probably 4 sitting head coaches who have some level of interest for USC. I think he is definitely one. I think Luke Fickell at Cincinnati is another because, by the way, the guy who used to be his boss at Cincinnati, Mike Bone, is now USC's AD. Then there's Matt Campbell, who's really done a terrific job at Iowa State. And then the 4th one is another name you know well, and that's James Franklin at Penn State. To me, all those guys have really good situations, and especially in the case of Fickell and Campbell, they're really Midwestern, you know, guys from Ohio. Would they want to make that move to a splashier market as it is in Southern California? I mean, you know James Franklin like I do. You could see him fitting in Southern California. He would play well in the media climate out here. I'm not saying he's going to jump at it necessarily, but his buyout is $4 million. Right now, if you're Mario, also like the other guys I mentioned, have young kids, they would be uprooting them. He knows the Pac-12 well. I think the question, if you're ultimately Mario Cristobal, is, and by the way, the one job I always thought Mario would have a hard time saying no to is at his alma mater in Miami. I don't know if Mario sits there and looks at the landscape and goes, that job may come open in a year or two. You know, like he may have his pick of some really big jobs right now. like, all, I don't want to say it's all of a sudden he's gotten to be a really hot name, but after this weekend, and again, I don't want to make it like it was just one time, you know, one thing, but it's like, man, the timing of that, they beat Ohio State, especially the way they do it and the fashion they did it. And then the next, that later that night, USC looks horrible and they make a coaching change. You know, I just know a lot of USC people who have influence and they're very interested in Mario Cristobal. It's just, what will it take to get him? I think it's more than just money we're talking about.
Bruce, you know the lay of the land out there, and there's no shortage of USC analysts who work with you and who work with me, who are not shy about offering their opinions of this group. And there's going to be a drumbeat. And not only on top of that, it's the culture. Do you think Franklin, is Franklin and Cristobal, would you say the best two fits? Because Luke Fickell is a Midwestern guy. I wonder about that.
I do too, honestly. Luke Fickell is a really good coach, and he has a top 10 team now. He also has the connection to Mike Bone and Mike Bone's right-hand man, Brandon Sosna, who he really trusts on a lot of stuff. Those guys came from Cincinnati. If not for that, I'm not sure I would read that much into Luke Fickell's name. The other two guys, I feel like, just from the people I know who are either the influential former players as well as some of the money people, they know there is something about the USC job in terms of Pete Carroll. Yeah, obviously he was like the fifth choice when he got the job. But when people got to know him and got to feel that charisma to him and a presence, he fit out here pretty well. I don't think it's that hard for people to envision either one of the two guys we're talking about, especially in Franklin or Cristobal, as that guy's the USC head coach for what a lot of people around the program feel like they need right now. I mean, as nice a man as Clay Helton is, that wasn't him. And, you know, it's like, it's unfortunate, but like one of the former coaches I talked to was on that staff was like, he had kind of a vibe that was likened to a substitute teacher. Usually when programs go from one thing to, you know, they usually make, especially when it's a firing, they usually make a pronounced shift. Again, we'll see what you know, Carol Folt, the leader of the university, wants to do going forward. But I think if they are really as serious about making a commitment to competing for national titles, then I think they make a run at both of those guys and see where it lands.
Bruce Feldman, fantastic stuff. Bruce just has a story on this up at The Athletic. Bruce, many thanks for coming on. I know it's been a busy afternoon for you.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You got it. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.